did you know that apart from the carbon dioxide or CO2 emissions that you're all familiar with, responsible for causing 55 to 60% of global warming, we have other pollutants causing 40 to 45% of the warming that are often overlooked. These are called short-lived climate pollutants. These pollutants stay in the atmosphere for a much shorter time compared to carbon dioxide and include black carbon particulates, methane, tropospheric ozone, and hydrofluorocarbons. This all sounds complicated, but this new series will help break down the complex terms and concepts to help you understand how you can improve your own health and how, as a citizen of the planet, can take your responsibility to reduce your own emissions and in the long run mitigate further impacts of climate change. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you this new series called Small Changes, Big Impacts, in collaboration with the Africa SLCP projects, which will see the production of 11 podcast episodes highlighting the plight of air pollution in Africa and creating awareness on short-lived climate pollutants. On set today, I am joined by Daisy Moso, who is part of the project, and she's going to be to tell us more about what she does for the project and also tell us more about what this whole project is all about. Daisy, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you on the panel today. So kindly tell us briefly about who you are and what you do.
My name is Daisy Moso. Mm-hmm. I'm the Project and Climate Research Coordinator of the Africa Short-Lived Climate Pollutants Project, in short known as Africa SLCP Project. This is a one-year project that is funded by ClimateWorks. Its aim is to reduce short-lived climate pollutants. Mm-hmm. So my main role in this project is to provide technical support in terms of implementation of the project and guiding the research team, basically integrating climate information science into the project and also providing technical support in terms of quality control of the project outputs, the reports, the project briefs, in terms of high-level strategic stakeholder involvement with the key stakeholders who include the CSOs. We have the government of Kenya, which is the Ministry of Environment. Mm-hmm. We have the Ministry of Energy. We also have other ministries like the Ministry of Transport, other stakeholders. We are looking at collaborating with the AU because the project is African-wide. Uh-huh. We would like to target mostly the countries that have already SLCP policies in plan, and most of these were involved in the SNAP process, which is supporting national action planning by the Climate and Clean Air Coalition. So that is my major scope, providing technical support for the team.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. So when I joined the team recently and I was going through the briefings that you shared with me, and I read a report done by the Institute for Governance and Sustainable Development, and you will allow me to read it, and it stated that reducing three of the SLCPs, which is black carbon, tropospheric ozone, and methane, has the potential to avoid 0.5 degrees global average warming by 2050 and 0.84 degrees in the Arctic by 2070. And this would cut the current rate of global warming by half and the rate of warming in the Arctic Ocean by two-thirds and the rate of warming over the regions of the Himalayas and Tibet by at least half. And this is very significant. So, tell us more about this project and why this community, I mean, this work is so important, especially for the communities in Africa who, like I said, will be highlighting the plight of air pollution in Africa and, you know, from how we cook, the vehicular emissions and all these things. So why is this work so important?
Let me begin from where you've started about the accept. When we look at the short-lived climate pollutants, they have a very great global warming potential. And according to the Paris Agreement, we are globally, we are striving at limiting our temperature increase to below 2 degrees Celsius and if possible, 1.5 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
So climate, short-lived climate pollutants, they come in second after carbon dioxide. So they are very important, especially for the global, for the local, some of them, two of them for the local climate. So if we reduce them, we will really have a great impact on the climate. Why is this very important? Black carbon especially is released or emitted mostly in the household levels. In Africa, the most of the households use charcoal and especially firewood, especially in the high agroecological zones in Kenya. We have the highlands. They use a lot of biomass, especially firewood. So this releases a lot of black carbon into the atmosphere. And this eventually causes global warming and greenhouse effect. So it is very important. Reducing these emissions will eventually aid in the mitigation and adaptation, especially the mitigation bit of the climate change agreement as outlined within the goals of
the Paris Agreement. I'm also aware that the Africa SLC project worked on a Kenya report. So really looking at household emissions, as you've talked about, through firewood and charcoal, which is a reality for most African homes and most Kenyan homes. So this report is going to be disseminated sometime in the year, hopefully May or later. So what should we expect out of report being out of that report, being that you've done quite an extensive research to see, you know, the levels of emissions that we are particularly causing in Kenya?
Now, let me give a baseline of the report. The report, the climate, the Kenya SLCP project was mostly focusing on six counties to measure, to quantify the household carbon. This was Nandi, we had Murang'a, we had Kajiado, we had Taita Taveta and Garissa. Within these counties, we were measuring what is the level of emission within the indoor space. So, and also with regards to black carbon, we also measured the emissions, vehicular emissions, within Nakuru and Nairobi County. And when we look at the threshold, that the national threshold of the black carbon, it's at 35 micrograms per cubic meters. So in most instances, especially within Nairobi, these levels exceeded the levels that within exceeded the national thresholds. So with this, with the release of this report, we hope that the grassroots communities especially will be aware of the impact of the biomass combustion that they are undertaking within their households, how it impacts their health, because we see that the SLCPs, they affect mostly the upper respiratory tract, and they also affect the cardiovascular health. The common ailments, they are attributable, like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is attributable to exposure to PM2.5, which is a major concern within our roads in terms of vehicular emissions. So it is really about gender and health strengthening. It would help people be aware of the impact of their household activities and how to minimize that so that they can improve their health.
I'm sure the listeners are wondering what PM2.5 is. Do you mind expounding on that?
Okay. PM2.5, it is fine particulate matter that is very tiny. It's microscopic. You can barely see it. But because of its microscopic nature, it can easily get into your bloodstream and it can easily get into your lung system, so you breathe it in so easily, and it can affect you. It can affect your lungs, it can affect your heart. So that is PM, fine particulate matter. Measured 2.5 means it's less than 2.5 micrograms per cubic meters.
So it means a lot of, you know, our cultural setup as Africans is that, you know, women are the ones who are hands-on in the kitchen, and the ones sourcing for firewood, are the ones lighting the fire. So that means that their health is being threatened to a great extent, right?
Yes. The most vulnerable population is the women and the children, because if you look at our setting, it's the women who are mostly involved in cooking. And even when they're cooking, you would have a mother with a baby at the back. So you can see all that smoke getting to the baby, but they are not aware that is a health risk. So even the elderly people are also among the vulnerable. Populations.
And so I noted that also in this project you're focused on very specific thematic areas. Do you mind shedding light on that?
Okay. Based on our findings from the Kenya SLCP project, we are now scaling up to Africa SLCP, looking at collaborating with the AU and the major regional economic blocks within Africa, but we are choosing specific countries that have policies on these short-lived climate pollutants to collaborate with.
Yeah.
So we have 5 key thematic areas.
Yeah.
And the first one is on policy, research and development. Here we are looking at researching on black carbon, on methane, on HFCs, and how these affect our environment. And the sources, I think it's important to say what are the sources of black carbon.
Absolutely.
Black carbon is mostly from incomplete combustion of fuel, from open fires. And then methane is especially from livestock production, the enteric fermentation in the digestive systems of the animals, and also from waste, from decomposition of waste matter in the landfill. So those are sources of methane. HFCs are mostly from air conditioning and refrigerators. And with the way the world is going, Africa is getting modernized or urbanized so quickly. Most people are now coming to the urban areas, and we see they're buying these appliances, refrigerators, air conditioners. So the emissions are bound to get higher.
Yeah.
Tropospheric ozone, is a secondary pollutant. It's not emitted. It is as a result of interaction or reaction of hydrocarbons with exposure to sunlight.
Yeah.
For example, the methane. So with increases in emissions in methane, methane is a precursor to tropospheric ozone. So it increases tropospheric ozone as well. But someone would ask, why is ozone a problem? And we think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
When it exists in the stratosphere, it helps prevent the filtration of UV to the atmosphere, to the lower atmosphere. But when it is in the ground level, that is why we are calling it tropospheric ozone, it is harmful. It is actually a greenhouse gas because it causes the warming of the lower atmosphere. Yeah. So this project would like to do research on those key SLCPs under the first component. Then the second component, we have creation of models, scenarios, and databases. Based on the information that we collect in the first thematic area, we would like to simulate and create scenarios about the Africa's atmosphere, how it will look like in the future, for example, 2030, 2050, with regards to the emissions of black carbon and methane. If we put in mitigation measures or adopt mitigation measures, and if we don't, so how does it look like? How does our climate look like?
Yeah.
The third component is about the gender and health strengthening. We want to mainstream gender concerns. Now, it's mostly the women and the children who are involved. Who are most vulnerable. So we'd like to mainstream their concerns into this project so that we see how we can strengthen the health systems to help these women. So here we'll be looking especially at the impact of these short-lived climate pollutants on the cardiovascular health and the respiratory health system. We are focusing on COPD, as I said before, child pneumonia, because the children are part of it. And we also have lung cancer. These three are among the top three diseases that are attributable. We cannot say per se it's a cause effect, but they could cause
it.
Yes. So the fourth component is about institutional strengthening. Here we are looking to collaborate with the African Union and the five regional blocks, as I mentioned before. We also would like to collaborate and partner with the CSOs within this space and the private sector. If you, the private sector are mostly the people who are involved in coming up with the technologies and innovations on renewable energy and clean cooking, like the Clean Cooking Alliance of Kenya. They are coming up with innovations on clean cook stoves that give, emit less black carbon and cleaner sources of energy. So that is the sector of institutional strengthening. Then finally, we have strategic communication and outreach. All this information we get, how do we disseminate this information to that grassroots woman in the village who's using charcoal, who's using twigs, who's burning firewood, and even some use cow dung, which are sources of black carbon. So with the information that we have, we try to disseminate this information to everyone, especially the vulnerable communities and grassroots communities.
Absolutely.
So that is, those are basically the 5 thematic areas that the project is seeking to implement and achieve.
That's thank you so much for sharing that. I think when you are talking about the second thematic areas, I'm like, I need to do a refresher course on geography because you're talking about troposphere and, you know, ground level atmosphere. I'm sure most of us don't remember that. So thank you for sharing that. And you've touched on, you know, women and their health. So when we talk about, you know, the fuel that we use, the firewood and charcoal, do we have an opportunity to provide alternative sources? Because in as much as we are highlighting the plight of air pollution or indoor house pollution through the methods of cooking that they're using, mm-hmm. do we have an opportunity to provide, you know, alternative sources of cooking for this women? And, you know, should the government be involved? Should stakeholders come together to sort of support that transition in this case?
Actually, the current government is getting very involved with climate change issues. As mm-hmm. you're aware, we have the president is planning a climate action summit mm-hmm. in September, so that addresses some of those issues. And the government is looking at providing LPG gas to most people, mm-hmm. and I hope that becomes it comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. But given the status, the economic status of most people, it mm-hmm. may be a challenge, especially in the informal settlements and mm-hmm. in the slums,
yeah.
because for most people, it's a priority to provide food on their table mm-hmm. than to look at their source of energy. Okay. So there is an implementation challenge in terms of adoption of clean cooking energy, mm-hmm. But we hope that with time, people, when they're more informed, mm-hmm. they would give priority to that and they can have that ability to do that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so there's a summit, the Climate Action Summit that the president is putting together, hopefully in September. Will the project be involved or are you looking to be part of that particular summit, and how do you intend to get involved?
The project is planning on having mini summits mm-hmm. alongside the major Climate Action Summit that is happening from 4th to 6th. September. Mm-hmm. So within that mini summit, we would like to discuss the issues around reducing SLCPs. Mm-hmm. We are looking at inviting guests from across Africa, mm-hmm. especially who are involved in the SNAP process and who have SLCP policies in place. Mm-hmm. When we look at the western side, Nigeria, Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire mm-hmm. have really gone ahead in terms of integration of SLCPs in their policies. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at countries like Morocco. On the southern side, we have Zimbabwe mm-hmm. and South Africa who are also developing their policies. So we'd like to invite the various experts from these countries to discuss more about these issues and mm-hmm. to educate the people more about them. We also want to look at the integrated assessment of air pollution and climate change within the space of Africa. Mm-hmm. So this will be a side event that will be going on alongside the major Climate Action Summit. And we are looking at collaborating with the Office of the Presidency to do that. And one thing that I should mention is that this mini climate summit will be funded by Climate Talks Foundation, mm-hmm. who are the funders of this project as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, that's amazing. And I think the general feeling is that there's a lot to be done in terms of information dissemination on SLCPs, because honestly, people only talk about CO2 emissions from fossil fuels, but then there's, you know, these pollutants that really we need to talk about and we need to focus on, because they sort of relate to our day-to-day lives, you know, our own personal responsibilities. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, so what you've just said, the SLCPs for a long time have not been in the climate change conversation. Mm-hmm. I think it came up for the first time in Glasgow, COP26. Ah. So it's a new conversation. Most people are not aware about it. Mm-hmm. So it's a very new space that there's a lot of information to give out to the general public.
Yeah.
So it is a very current and emerging issue within mm-hmm. the climate change space.
Mm-hmm. And we hope that, you know, this series will really help disseminate this information and create more awareness around it.
Yes.
So that, you know, in the long run, contribute to how we mitigate further impacts of climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Over to you, Susan. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us about yourself and what you do for the project.
Okay. So I am a communication specialist mm-hmm. and currently I'm the communication officer for the Africa SLCP project.
Mm-hmm.
So basically my work is to come up with communication strategies mm-hmm. mostly to create awareness, demystify short-lived climate pollutants mm-hmm. to our different stakeholders who yeah. cut across board from policymakers, government officials, to the common Wananchi. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do.
Ah, great. And as you said, communication is your forte. And I was reading the same research paper by the Institute of Governance and Sustainable Development, and they talked about Africa's biggest challenge in addressing air pollution not only includes pointing out the sources of air pollutants, but also quantifying them by types and seasons of the year, as well as the location. Other concerns are lack of awareness on the impact of air pollutants, expensive modern cooking, stoves, and poverty. And I would like to dwell on the lack of awareness bit because, you know, we are talking about communications. So as a communications officer for the Africa SLCP project, what would you say are some of the challenges you have experienced in trying to create awareness on SLCPs?
There are many challenges, mm-hmm. and of course the first one and most obvious one is the limited awareness, mm-hmm. From and not just with the general public, mm-hmm. but you'll be surprised, even some of the people that are in the climate action space mm-hmm. Don't know much about SLCPs,
yeah.
Which is ironic because SLCPs actually contribute to about 45% mm-hmm. of global warming, mm-hmm. but a lot of people don't know that. So that has been a big challenge. Mm-hmm. So at this point in time, we're spending more time telling people what are SLCPs. That's where we are starting. Before mm-hmm. we can even start telling them what you need to do
yeah.
to play a part in their reduction.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, of course, it's the technical language that is used.
Mm-hmm.
It is the language that is used to communicate SLCPs is so technical that non-experts
mm-hmm.
Would not understand or relate to the conversation. So that's the other challenge that we have to take this data, this scientific data, and interpret it in very simple language so that it's not just something that people understand, but something that they can relate to and feel compelled to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing, which is not the last thing, but those are the top three,
mm-hmm.
is the lack of urgency. As you know, since COP1, up to now we are at COP27,
mm-hmm.
there has been a lot of emphasis, a lot of attention on other global warming issues, like carbon dioxide emissions, but not until recently, we've not really had a lot of noise being made where SLCPs are concerned, including mm-hmm. funding as well.
Yeah.
And that also cuts across when it comes to even funding for communication on SLCPs. But we're getting there.
Yeah, a step at a time.
Yes,
a step
we're at getting a time. There.
Yeah. When I was speaking to Daisy earlier, she mentioned that it's only until COP26 mm-hmm. when we started having conversations around short-lived climate pollutants. So it means we really have a lot of work to do in trying to create awareness and to disseminate information
yes.
to people that matter, you know, this all key stakeholders who should be part of this conversation. There's a lot of work to be done around it.
Yes.
So this particular series, as I mentioned, is called Small Changes, Big Impact. So what is your vision for it? Because you're the brainchild behind this particular slogan. Like what is your actual vision for it?
Okay. So my vision for Small Changes, Big Impact
mm-hmm.
is to create engaging and accessible content
mm-hmm.
That will help people understand SLCPs,
mm-hmm.
the importance of being part of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
but most importantly, the importance of engaging in social behavioral change
mm-hmm.
that is going to help in the reduction.
Yeah.
We appreciate that when it comes to lawmaking, policymakers, mm-hmm. lawmakers, that's very important.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, majority are the people on the receiving end. And if they are not passionate about the whole subject.
Mm-hmm.
You might have laws, but it might take us a very long time before people buy into the idea of why do I need to take personal responsibility to reduce SLCPs. So that is my vision, to just see everybody from the elite, from the policymakers to Mama Mboga, to the village woman, understanding SLCPs and putting effort to do something about their reduction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping that through these conversations that we're going to have for the rest of the year, people will really understand what yes. their personal responsibility is to reduce emissions, because at the end of the day, it starts with us. Like you said, small changes
big impact. Yeah. So what is that one thing that will, that by the end of the year, you would say this was a success?
I think the first thing is, the first way I will feel that this project has been a success, especially running with this year's theme, mm-hmm. is one, seeing a lot more engagement, mm-hmm. Conversations around SLCPs and on all platforms mm-hmm. amongst policymakers, others, all stakeholders, mm-hmm. Seeing more conversations on SLCPs on the media, mm-hmm. Social media, mainstream media, TV, radio, and even in those community activities, you know, mm-hmm. like when people are running workshops, when different CSOs and women groups and other people are running activities, mm-hmm. when we see that more people having these conversations, mm-hmm. then I will definitely feel that it has been a success. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of things, it always starts with a conversation, because mm-hmm. then that shows that there's interest. Mm-hmm. And then from there, the change happens.
Yeah.
So when that happens, mm-hmm. I don't know if it will be by the end of the year, maybe 2-3 years, mm-hmm. but when that happens, then I'll know for sure, even if my contribution was 1%, mm-hmm. that it was a success.
It was a success, yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And we hope through this new series that we are doing in collaboration with the Africa SLCP Project, you as our listener, you as an audience, you as a Monanchi, a citizen of the planet, you'll really understand what you need to do to reduce your own emissions. And, you know, in the long run, you will help mitigate further impacts of climate change. And having a conversation with Daisy, she's really talked about the health aspect of it, especially for women and children who are more vulnerable because of our own African setting. So I hope that this series will really help you understand, and you will join us in trying to create change in our communities and to, you know, ensure that we have a safe and secure future for the generations to come. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Hali hewa, hali hewa.